Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm Pastor Steve, and this is Word for Word on Eurofolk Radio. This is the show for Monday, August the 15th. We left off on Exodus chapter 37 the last time. We're probably going to finish the book, 38, 39, and 40 today, because these are all construction details and really don't require a lot of comment. So let's get at this. Verse 38, verse 1. This is speaking of Bezalel, the master craftsman that was called by Yahweh to do all this work and given all the marvelous knowledge on how to do it. And made he the altar of burnt offering of wood of shittim. 5 cubits was the length of it, and 5 cubits the width of it. It was 4 square, and 3 cubits the height of it. Verse 2. And made he the horns of it on the 4 corners of it. The horns of it were of the same. And overlaid he it with bronze. Verse 3. And made he all the articles of the altar, the pots, and the shovels, and the basins, and the mitzalanoth, 4207, we don't know what that is. So I just gave you the Hebrew for it. Mitzalanoth 4207. And the fire pans, all the articles of it made he of bronze. Verse 4. And made he a bronze grate for the altar of network under the rim of it, beneath unto the middle of it. Verse 5. And cast he 4 rings for the 4 ends of the grate of bronze to be places for the poles. Verse 6. And made he poles of wood of shittim and overlaid them with bronze. Verse 7. And put he the poles into the rings on the sides of the altar to carry it with. Made he the altar hollow with boards. Verse 8. And made he the laver of bronze, and the base of it of bronze, of the mirrors 4759 of the assembly, which assembled at the door of the tent of meeting. They had bronze mirrors, and they donated their bronze mirrors to be melted and cast into this laver. That was part of their donation. They were all just gave up personal items for this. Marvelous. Verse 9. And made he the courtyard on the south side southward. The hangings of the courtyard were of fine linen, 100 cubits. Their pillars were 20, and their bronze bases 20. The hooks of the pillars and their fillets were of silver. And for the north side, the hangings were 100 cubits. Their pillars were 20, and their bases of bronze 20. The hooks of the pillars and their fillets were of silver. And for the seaward side were hangings of 50 cubits. Their pillars 10, and their bases 10. The hooks of the pillars and their fillets were of silver. And for the east side, eastward, 50 cubits. The hangings of one side of the gate were 15 cubits. Their pillars 3, and their bases 3. 15. And for the other side of the court gate, on this hand and on that hand, were hangings of 15 cubits, their pillars 3, and their bases 3. Verse 16. All the hangings of the courtyard round about were of fine linen. Verse 17. And the bases for the pillars were of bronze. The hooks of the pillars and their fillets were of silver, and the overlaying of their capitals of silver. And all the pillars of the courtyard were filleted with silver. Verse 18. And the hanging for the gate of the courtyard was of needlework, of blue, purple, scarlet, and fine linen. And the length was 20 cubits, and the height along the width was 5 cubits, comparable to the hangings of the courtyard. Verse 19. And their pillars were 4, and their bases of bronze 4, their hooks of silver, and the overlaying of their capitals, and their fillets of silver. Verse 20. And all the tent pins of the tabernacle and of the courtyard round about were of bronze. Verse 21. This is the sum of the tabernacle, of the tabernacle of testimony, as it was counted, according to the word of Moshe, for the servants of the Leviim, by the hand of Ithamar, son to Aharon the priest. And Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Kur, of the tribe of Yehuda, made all that commanded Yahweh to Moshe. Verse 23. And with him was Oholiab, son of Achisamach, of the tribe of Dan, an engraver and an artistic workman, and an embroiderer in blue, purple, scarlet, and fine linen. Verse 24. All the gold that was occupied for the work in all the work of the holy place, even the gold of the offering, was 29 talents and 730 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, which was heavier than a standard shekel. I mentioned that the other day. Verse 25. And the silver of them that was numbered of the congregation was 100 talents and 1,775 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. Verse 26. A beka, 1, 2, 3, 5, for every man, that is, half a shekel, after the shekel of the sanctuary, for every one that went to be numbered from 20 years old and upward, for 603,550 men. They all gave a half shekel. Verse 27. And of the 100 talents of silver were cast the bases of the sanctuary, and the bases of the veil, 100 bases of the 100 talents, a talent for a base. Verse 28, and of the 1,705 shekels made he hooks for the pillars, and overlaid their capitals, and filleted them. That's the decorative tops of all the pillars. That's called a capital. Verse 29, and the bronze of the offering was 70 talents, and 2,400 shekels. Verse 30, and with it made he the bases to the doorway of the tent of meeting, and the altar of bronze, and the grate of bronze for it, and all the articles of the altar. Verse 31, and the bases of the courtyard round about, and the bases of the courtyard gate, and all the tent pins of the tabernacle, and all the tent pins of the courtyard round about. They had to use ropes and tent stakes to hold these up, like any other tent. So that's why they needed all those bronze tent stakes, and they used bronze because it was so much stronger than softer gold or silver. So they made them of something that was going to hold up. Now, in your references for this chapter in verse 8, you can reference Exodus 30, verse 18, verses 25 and 26, you can reference Exodus 30, 11 through 16. And verse 26 of this chapter, you can reference Matthew 17, 24. That ends chapter 38 of Exodus. Now we will begin chapter 39. This chapter is all about the holy garments for Aharon. And it's very complicated. There are a number of words that will be in the Hebrew because we don't know what they mean in the English. And I will identify them as we go through. But I'm not going to put an opinion to what they mean in the text because that's what the KJV and all the other mistranslations do. If they don't know, they're not strong enough to say, we don't know what this means. Well, I am. A lot of things in the Hebrew have been lost to us. And I'm not going to give you what I think it is. I'm just going to use the Hebrew word. Pardon me. And chapter 39 begins, verse 1. And of the blue, purple, and scarlet, they made cloths for service, to do service in the holy place, and they made the holy garments for Aharon, as commanded Yahweh to Moshe. Even the wiping cloths were ornate in this thing. This is going to be magnificent. It was for Yahweh. So everything was first class and above. Even the stuff they clean things with. Verse 2. And made he the ephod of gold, blue, purple, scarlet, and fine linen. Verse 3. And beat they the gold into thin plates, and cut it into wires, to work it in the blue, in the purple, in the scarlet, and in the fine linen with artistic work. Verse 4. Made they the shoulder pieces for it, to join it together by the two edges it was joined together. It was split and then they joined it with these shoulder pieces. in verse 5. And the woven waistband of his ephod that was upon it was of the same, according to the work of it, of gold, blue, purple, scarlet, and fine linen, as commanded Yahweh to Moshe. They say that a lot in here. So you know who ordered this made and how. Verse 6. And they wrought stones of shoham, an unknown word, enclosed in settings of filigree, engraved as signets are engraved, with the names of the sons of Israel. Verse 7. And put he them upon the shoulders of the ephod as stones for a record of the sons of Israel, as commanded Yahweh to Moshe. Verse 8. And made he the breastpiece of artistic workmanship, like the workmanship of the ephod, of gold, blue, purple, scarlet, and fine linen. Verse 9. It was four square. They made the breastpiece double. A span was the length of it, and a span the width of it, being doubled. Verse 10. And they set in four rows of stones. The first row was an odum, that's unknown, a potato, P-I-T-A sound, D-A-H, unknown. Not a potato, a potato. and a baraketh, unknown. This was the first row. And the second row, a nofek, that's unknown, a sapir, that is a sapphire. Sapir, the Hebrew word, is where we get our word in English, sapphire. And a yahalom, unknown. And the third row, a leshem, that is an unknown word. No definition for it. A shibo, S-H-U sound, B-O, that's unknown. And an akalama, that's also unknown. Verse 13, and the fourth row, a tarashish, we don't know what that is. A shoham, we don't know what that is. And a yashfe, we don't know what that is. They were enclosed in a filigree setting of gold in their enclosings. Verse 14. The filigree setting is a mounting for a stone. That's a jeweler's term. And verse 14. And the stones were according to the names of the sons of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, every one with its names, according to the 12 tribes. Verse 15, and made they upon the breastpiece chains at the end of twisted work of pure gold. 16. And made they two filigree settings of gold, and two rings of gold, and put the two rings in the two ends of the breastpiece. Verse 17, and put they the two chains of twisted gold in the two rings on the ends of the breastpiece. Verse 18, and the two ends of the two twisted chains they fastened in the two filigree settings and put them upon the shoulder pieces of the ephod in the front. Verse 19. And made they two rings of gold, and put them on the two ends of the breastpiece upon the border of it, which was on the side of the ephod inward. Verse 20. And made they two other gold rings, and put them on the two sides of the ephod underneath, toward the front of it, opposite the other coupling of it, from above the woven waistband of the ephod. Verse 21. And they bound the breastpiece by its rings to the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it might be above the woven waistband of the ephod, and so that the breastpiece might not be loosened from the ephod, as commanded Yahweh to Moshe. There it is again. They dressed Aharon. He couldn't put all this on by himself. They put all this stuff on him and tied all this stuff off because he couldn't reach most of it. So that was a big thing. He was a high priest, and he had a crew assigned to him to minister to him, to dress him. Verse 22. And made he the robe of the ephod of woven work, all of blue. Verse 23. And there was a hole in the midst of the robe, as the hole of a collar, with a band around the hole so that it would not tear. They had to reinforce it. He was going to put this on and off, for years. Verse 24. And on the hems of the robe made they pomegranates of blue, purple, scarlet, and fine linen. They did great embroidering work, and embroidered in this stuff and made it look like little blue, purple, and scarlet pomegranates, little decorative fruits. Verse 25. And made they bells of pure gold, and put the bells between the pomegranates upon the hem of the robe round about between the pomegranates. So he would tinkle when he walked and wouldn't just walk into the high holy place unannounced. They heard him coming, knew he was coming. So that was the reason for the bells. I explained that the other day when we read virtually the same thing. Verse 26, a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate, round about the hem of the robe to minister in, as commanded Yahweh to Moshe. Again, the commandment. Verse 27, and made they coats of fine linen of woven work for Aharon and for his sons, and a turban of fine linen and headband turbans of fine linen, and linen breeches of fine linen, and a sash of fine linen, and blue, purple, and of scarlet, of needlework, as commanded Yahweh to Moshe. Again, this is his personal design, and he imparted this knowledge through his power. Verse 30 of chapter 39. And made they the plate of the holy crown of pure gold, and wrote upon it in a writing like engraving of a signet, holiness to Yahweh. And in the Hebrew it says Kodesh LaYahweh. But there are no vowels in it. It's just YHWH. Verse 31. And they tied it to a lace of blue to fasten it from above upon the turban as commanded Yahweh to Moshe. They're reiterating this, that this is Yahweh's commandment. Verse 32. Thus was all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting finished, and the children of Israel did all according to that which commanded Yahweh to Moshe. So they did. And brought they the tabernacle to Moshe, the tent, and all of its articles, its hooks, its boards, its bars, its pillars, and its bases, and the covering of ram skins dyed red, and the covering of kashim skins, unknown word, and the veil of the covering, and the ark of the testimony, and the poles of it, and the kopareth, which is the lid, the table, and all of the articles of it, and the bread of the presence, the pure menorah with the lamps of it, with the lamps to be set in order, and all the articles of it, and the oil for the lamps, the golden altar, and the oil of anointing, and the incense of spices, and the hanging for the door of the tent, the altar of bronze, and its grate of bronze, its poles, and all its articles, and the laver and its base, the hangings of the courtyard, its pillars, and their bases, and the hanging for the gate of the courtyard, its cords, and its tent pins, and all the articles of the service of the tabernacle for the tent of meeting, the cloths of service to do service in the holy place, and the holy garments for Aharon the priest, and his son's garments to minister as priests, according to all that Yahweh commanded Moshe. So the children of Israel made all the work. Verse 43, and looked Moshe upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as had commanded Yahweh. Even so they had done it, and blessed Moshe them. They brought him the unassembled tabernacle, all the pieces and parts. And he inspected each and every piece and part and made sure it was just so as Yahweh had commanded him. This was a very, very serious thing. It was serious to the children of Israel. They put everything they had into it to make it perfect, and did so, because Yahweh gave them his blessing and his knowledge and made them able to do this marvelous, marvelous work. That ends chapter 39 of the building of the parts for the tabernacle. Now we're going to go into chapter 40, which will be the last chapter of the book of Exodus. And Moshe is going to follow all these procedures for the first 15 verses, actually the verse 2 through 15 is Yahweh speaking, but he's gonna do everything, and he's gonna go out where he's told to go out, and he's gonna set this thing up. So let's get into this, because this is gonna be the finale to this book, and it's a marvelous thing here. Let me get a drink of water. Get a little dry periodically. Chapter 40, verse 1. And spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, verse 2, on the first day of the month shall you set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. And you shall put in it the ark of the testimony, and cover the ark with the veil. And you shall bring in the table, and set in order the things that are to be set in order, 6187, upon it. And you shall bring in the menorah, and light the lamps of it. Verse 5, you shall set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony, and put the hanging of the door to the tabernacle. Verse 6, and you shall set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. Verse 7, and you shall set the laver between the tent of meeting and the altar, and shall put water in it. Verse 8, and you shall set up the courtyard around it, and hang up the hanging at the courtyard gate. Verse 9, and you shall take the oil of anointing, and anoint the tabernacle, and all that is in it, and shall hallow it, and all the articles of it, and it shall become holy. Verse 10, and you shall anoint the altar of the burnt offering and all its articles, and sanctify the altar. And it shall become an altar most holy. And you shall anoint the laver and its base, and sanctify it. Verse 12, and you shall bring Aharon and his sons to the door of the tent of meeting, and wash them with water. And you shall put the holy garments upon Aharon, and anoint him, and sanctify him, so that he may minister to me as a priest. Verse 14, and you shall bring his sons, and clothe them with coats, those white coats that they made. Verse 15, and you shall anoint them as you anointed their father, so that they may minister to me as priests. For their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout all their generations. Now I'm going to comment right here. When they say everlasting, that's olam. And that literally means for a very long time. It is usually translated everlasting or forever, but that's not quite the case. It means for a very long time, because what happened with the Aharonic priesthood in the time of Yeshua Messiah was they were infiltrated by the Edomites. And they had brought in their Babylonian Talmudic beliefs, which have become modern-day Judaism. The Talmud is their holiest book, not the Torah. And is rabbinical opinions. The rabbis run Judaism. And they had so infiltrated and corrupted and defiled the Aharonic priesthood, and they were not of the sons of Aharon. So Yeshua Messiah took the priesthood from them and gave it to the order of what they call in English Melchizedek, but it's Melchizedek, King of Righteousness, because Yeshua is the King of Righteousness and the King of Israel, and he will take up his crown when he returns and rule us, and we will not have all these Edomites continuing to give us trouble as they do today. All of that will end, and it's not going to be pretty in the process of ending. So get ready. It's going to be ugly. Prepare yourselves. And during the tribulation, which we will not be sucked up in some rapture, we're going to have to deal with the tribulation. Those who overcome and endure and do not lose their faith, they will be the ones that will rule under Yahweh's son, Yeshua. He is going to be our king and give us orders, and we will administer his laws. That will be our duty, because that's what Israel means. You will rule as mighty ones, or El, mighty ones, or magistrates. Elohim means magistrate, judge, divine being, a number of meanings. So we will be his magistrates. And he will be king of the planet, not just the United States of America or Great Britain, the whole world. And those that survive Yahweh's wrath will be under his rule. Now, only Israel will be able to enter New Jerusalem, the 12 gates for the 12 tribes. Read the book of Revelations and it describes it. The old Jerusalem, well, it rejected him. So he's bringing the new temple and New Jerusalem down. Remember, And his prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're not going there. It's coming here. Take a clue from that prayer that Yeshua prayed. So that ended Yahweh speaking in verse 15. And here's the description of what happened. Verse 16. Thus did Moshe, according to all that commanded Yahweh to him, so did he. And it came to be in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, that's their second year of freedom, that the tabernacle was raised up. Verse 18, and raised up Moshe the tabernacle, and fastened its bases, and set up the boards of it, and put in the bars of it, and raised up its pillars. Now he's directing this. He's an old man, he's not physically doing all this labor, but he's there in supervision. Verse 19, and spread he abroad the tent over the tabernacle, and put the covering of the tent upon it from above, as commanded Yahweh to Moshe. Verse 20, and he took and put the testimony into the ark. Those were the second tablets that Moshe had to carve because he broke the first one, that Yahweh made the whole thing the first time. But he took those hand-hewn tablets to Yahweh, and Yahweh wrote on them. Moshe did not write the 10 words on the second set. Yahweh did that, but he did carve out the tablets. And they were written on both sides, and they put that into the Ark of the Covenant. And he, I'm going to read that over. And he took and put the testimony into the Ark, and set the poles on the Ark, and put the Koppereth upon the Ark from above. The Koppereth is the covering or lid that covers over the Ark. It's all that gold with the cherubim. And verse 21, and brought he the ark into the tabernacle, and set up the veil of the covering, and covered the ark of the testimony, as commanded Yahweh to Moshe. Verse 22, and he put the table in the tent of meeting upon the north side of the tabernacle, outside of the veil. And set he the bread in order upon it, in the presence of Yahweh, as commanded Yahweh to Moshe. Verse 24, and put he the menorah in the tent of meeting opposite the table on the south side of the tabernacle, and lighted he the lamps in the presence of Yahweh, as commanded Yahweh to Moshe. Verse 26, and he put the golden altar in the tent of meeting in front of the veil. Verse 27, and burned he incense of spices upon it, as commanded Yahweh to Moshe. Verse 28, and set up he the hanging at the door of the tabernacle. Verse 29, and put he the altar of burnt offering by the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and offered upon it the burnt offering and the grain offering, as commanded Yahweh to Moshe. Verse 30, and set he the laver between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water there to wash with. Verse 31. And washed Moshe and Aharon and his sons their hands and feet there. Verse 32. When they went into the tent of meeting and when they came near the altar, they washed as commanded Yahweh to Moshe. Verse 33, and raised up he the courtyard around the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the courtyard gate. So finished Moshe the work. And here it comes. Verse 34, then a cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of Yahweh filled the tabernacle. Verse 35, and Moshe was not able to enter into the tent of meeting because the cloud abode on it, and the glory of Yahweh filled the tabernacle. Verse 36, and when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. Verse 37, but if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey until the day when it was taken up. If Yahweh wanted them to remain in a spot, he just stayed in that cloud right there. Verse 38, because the cloud of Yahweh was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was upon it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel through their journeys. Wow. Can you imagine living in that time and being able to see that? Well, brothers and sisters, if you're faithful in our Messiah, Yeshua, and you call on the name of Yahweh and believe in Him and try to obey His commandments as best you can, you'll see it again because it's coming here with Yeshua. And what a glorious day that will be. Oh, magnificent. I'm going to give the references here for chapter 40. Verse 33 of chapter 40 is the book of Yashar, which is Jasher in English. Chapter 82, verse 35. And verse 34, you can reference 1 Kings, chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 4, Ezekiel, chapter 43, verse 4, and the book of Revelation, chapter 15, verse 8. Now tomorrow we're going to begin the book of Leviticus. That is a lot of the laws for the priests. A great deal has been fulfilled of that book. But big three-letter word, but there are a lot of laws in there that were given in that book that still stand. Not all of it is fulfilled. So don't get the idea, oh, that's all that priestly stuff and that's done away with. Not all of it. There is a great deal to be taught in the book of Leviticus, which is Vayikra, called. And I will make a lot of comments probably in that book, because there's a huge amount of our history there. And I say our, this belongs to the true Israelites, not the pretenders. There are a lot of rules that we need to remember for our benefit and obey, because every time we obey one of Yahweh's laws, things get better for us. You ever notice that? That's an amazing occurrence. And I'm always impressed by how a little bit of obedience goes such a long way. Oh, you know, it's, and everybody, oh, you talk about sin so much. I'm an expert on sin, seeing as how I was so good at it. Oh, man. Man, I just wallered in it and wallered in it. Sure did. I wouldn't need a redeemer otherwise. The light came on to me like it did with Paul. And, oh, man, you know, my life is a mess. I've made it that way. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I really started reading that Bible, and the more I read it, the worse I felt about myself. Until I made my pact with Yahshua Messiah, man, I just hated myself. Oh, hated my life. And I look back upon it, and I sort of still hate what I did. But what I went through in my life shaped me into the man that I am now, when I can serve my master. He always takes guys like me, just fools, I guess, and make something of us. You know, here I am, you know, I've done my prison time for standing up for the word and being a patriot. And most people say, oh man, you get out of prison, your life will be over. I have been so blessed. My life is better now than it ever has been. This is the best part of my life. I'm living it right now as an ex-con in the service of Yahweh. How wonderful is that? If he could take a guy like me and do this for me, what can he do for you? Think about it. Think about it. If you're riding that fence, sort of just straddling it, you don't know which way to jump. The man, Yahshua, whose spirit was divine, but the body was the body of a man, indwelled with that divine spirit, gave up his life to cover over our sins. Mine and yours, if you will let him. But it has to be a willing choice. Has to be willing. You can't shove it down somebody's throat. You're going to hell! Well, everybody's going to hell, I guess, until they meet Yahshua. And if you don't think you're good enough, hey, you're right, you're not good enough. I wasn't good enough. But he wants you just like you are, so he can take you and break you and make you change your whole life. But you have to be sincere. You can't just say, oh yeah, I've accepted Jesus, and then just keep living like the devil. You got to change your life, because repentance means to make a change in what you're doing and do the opposite of what you were doing wrong. I've had to do that. And you know what? That's a burden that was lifted off of me. I don't miss that stuff at all. None of it. I've got all new stuff. I'm a new man. So he's given me new things. Cleared my mind and healed my body. Healed my spirit. Given me new, true friends in Christian Identity. People that'll stand up for the truth. People I'm not ashamed to be with. That's a blessing in itself. Got me hooked up with the EFR group through Eli James, who helped me over and over and was a blessing to me while I was locked up. And all these people that say bad things about Eli James, they're liars. By their fruits shall ye know them. Well, I've seen his fruits. I want to mention one thing while I'm on here about healing and health and food. Camp Char's got about a 1 hour thing that she does. It's an audio file on Yahweh's followers. I told her she ought to do something about biblical food and health, and by golly, she did it. And I listened to it the other day, and it is absolutely marvelous. And I recommend it to everybody. You will learn a lot. The lady really knows her stuff. I'm very proud of her. She did a marvelous, marvelous job on this audio file. And she will teach you and straighten you out on a lot of things. So please look that up on Yahweh's Followers Blogspot. And listen to her audio file. It's really nice. I really like it. Well, I want to give a couple of extra minutes here, so they can fit this thing in if they need a refill. I'm really new at this computer broadcasting, and I've had some real good coaches. And I really appreciate it. And I appreciate all the new people that are coming on board at EFR, Pastor Mullet and Billy. And visit David James' website and you will be astounded. Absolutely astounded at all the stuff that's on there. Such a website. Wow. And I want to thank him for all his artwork he's doing for all the guys at EFR, too. The balloons, or whatever you call them. I don't know all the technical terms, but he's doing the site photo that people can identify with. So, praise Yahweh, and I'll say Shalom Aleichem to everybody here. And I will catch you tomorrow. We'll start in on the book of Leviticus. So Yahweh bless and Shalom Aleichem.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus